Andre, what does it mean to love?
Ruben, that's an excellent question. That's a deep question.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that translate into our everyday relationships? And here's another follow-up question. And what about people who abuse us?
Those are some tough questions, Andrea, but I'm glad we have the Bible to guide us. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Andre Hastic, and Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Andre, I love the range of questions that we get in each week. Our viewers are seeking not only to understand what the Bible says, but how it applies in our everyday lives.
Absolutely, that is right, Ruben. And I'm also so glad that we have this resource to offer our viewers. If you have a question you'd like answered, simply call 833 Bible HD and leave us a voicemail or text at a number that we can reach you back on. You can also send your messages via Facebook, Instagram, or our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And if possible, leave us an email so we can contact you back there.
Absolutely. Well, Andre, I'm excited about the panelists that we have today. First, I want to introduce Pastor Lola Johnston. We can consider her a veteran of the show now, and we're always glad when she joins us because she is the senior pastor of Woodbridge Adventist Church in Virginia. She is also a recording artist, an author, and an empowerment coach. Pastor Johnston, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's good to be here, Reuben.
And joining Pastor Johnston here today, we have another familiar face, Dr. Jeffrey Brown, who has a PhD in religious education, specializing in family life education and counseling. He has written several books on relationships and currently creates and shares resources for pastors as an associate secretary of the General Conference Ministerial Association. Dr. Brown, welcome again.
Thank you. It's good to be here and to be good to be here with Pastor Johnson as well.
Well, before we dive into some questions, I want to share a passage from the Bible that's one of my favorite passages found in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." Right now, we're going to be diving into the Word. And a lot of us are seeking wisdom, not only as we dive into the Bible, but just in our everyday life. And it's so good to know that God wants to give us that wisdom and that we need to have that faith so that we can receive that wisdom as we approach our everyday lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we can come together, Lord, and learn more about your word and just questions that we have about it. May you continue to guide our conversations, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be here with us as we answer these questions for our viewers so they may continue to apply them into their everyday life. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Ruben. And to get going here today, we have a message that I want to share with us from Instagram, actually, from Patrick. And here is the question we received. What kind of love is Jesus talking about when he says we should love one another? Dr. Brown, what can we find here in the Word of God that helps answer Patrick's question here today?
Well, I think that the best person to address this in terms of the Bible is the Apostle John. He's known as the Apostle of Love. And in his book, in John, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, John 13 and verse 34 in the New King James, the Bible says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So the question was, what kind of love was Jesus asking of us? Well, the kind of love he was asking of us is "as I have loved you" kind of love. Now, this was a new kind of love. One author said it was without parallel in the ancient world because it was modeled after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus had said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus had said in the NKJV, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And so this love is about equality. It's about mutuality. It is about oneness. It is about servanthood and not dominion. It is about respect and not abuse. And it is about giving, not getting. This love was unique. It was unparalleled and it was unprecedented. But it is the love that Jesus wants us to show to our fellow human beings.
Amen. Well, Dr. Brown, what you're sharing does sound pretty unique. It sounds like we won't be able to necessarily find our roadmap by looking at the things of this world, but we have to look above, we have to look in the Word to see that kind of love displayed by Jesus himself. So thank you for pointing us back to him here today. Pastor Johnston, anything else you'd like to add to that today as well?
I think what you said is so key. In Jesus's day, there were certain benefits assigned to people based upon their class, based upon their station, based upon their gender. And so the society did not demand that people be treated equally if they were on different status or if they were in different genders or different ages. But the love of Jesus was meant to flatten all of that privilege out so that everyone could enjoy being preferred, being benefited, being loved. The love of Jesus is revolutionary. And what more could Jesus ever do to bless us in this season than to flatten out all of the injustice that we see, the inequities that we see in our society, than to prescribe to us the love of God, which is a love as he has loved us?
I like that.
Wow, so powerful. And this love that we're talking about is so self-sacrificial is what I'm hearing. It's not about preserving oneself, but about caring about others with all of our heart. Just Amen. As Jesus did, as he poured out his life for our benefit. So thank you so much to the both of you for those responses. Ruben, what else do
well,
we have?
Well, yes, Andre, we have a question that came in via text. And it says, when a woman is experiencing physical and or emotional abuse from her husband, must she continue to live with that person to show the love of God and try to win him to Christ? Pastor Johnston, here we have a pretty heavy question of someone that maybe is trying to figure out what to do in light of what God's advice could be during this tough, tough situation. What does the Bible say about this?
Well, I want to begin by saying I think it's providential that we started to talk about what the love of God looks like. Mm-hmm. It is a love that prefers us and gives us better than we deserve. And so to this dear sister who is asking this question, we first want to say we love you and we are praying for you as you make this very important decision. Now, I want to be clear that scripture lets us know on multiple occasions that God hates violence. Psalms 11, verse 5 says, "The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence." It also talks about, scripture talks to us about the type of interaction that a husband ought to have with a wife. You know, often we kind of lean on what wives should do, but it has something to say to husbands as well. Yeah. And in 1 Peter 3:7, the word says, "In the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered." So let's be clear. God does not play around when it comes to his daughters being violated in this way. There's no prescription for whether or not you should stay. So the must can be taken out. You don't have to stay there in order for you to show the love of Jesus. A resource that I'd like to share with you is a book called Loving Your Spouse When You Feel Like Walking Away by Dr. Gary Chapman. He actually talks about the safe way that you can actually work on your marriage while keeping a safe distance. And I'd like to share with you that uppermost in our mindset, if you are in a violent situation, should be ensuring that you are safe. And once you are safe, you can make a decision as to whether or not you want to work on your relationship, whether you think it's salvageable, but please ensure that you're somewhere safe. Another resource I'd like to share is the enditnow.org website. It's a Seventh-day Adventist resource that talks all about violence against women, violence against anyone, and it provides some resources and some biblical or further biblical counsel that you might be able to use while you make this critical decision. Again, I am praying for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Johnson, thank you so much for that. You know, we want to remind our viewer that we are praying for them. This is not an easy topic to talk about, but the Bible is clear. We want to love one another, but also we want to make sure that they are safe. Thank you so, so much for that. Dr. Brown, any other words of encouragement that we can offer?
Well, I just do empathize with that situation. And I do give 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 in the Message paraphrase for our consideration. And the Bible says, don't you realize that this is not the way to live? Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. And so there is no obligation to live in an abusive environment and to mistake sacrifice for suicide. No, your immediate concern must not be his eternal salvation, but your present survival.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for those answers. This has been great to touch this on topic, and hopefully we've been bringing some hope to those who submitted this question. Thanks again.
Amen. Well, next we have a voicemail that has come in, and let's take a listen.
I would like to know what Psalm 83 means on an upcoming broadcast. Psalm 83, verses 1 through 5.
Pastor Johnston, those are five verses. I don't know if there's perhaps a part of that passage that you want to share with us as you can give us some insight on this particular passage of scripture.
Sure, I can dive right in. I'm looking at it from the New Living Translation, and it says, "Oh God, do not be silent. Don't be deaf. Do not be quiet, oh God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies? Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence." Yes, this was their unanimous decision. They signed a treaty as allies against you. This sounds to me like a call for justice. For God to look on people who are misusing and abusing his people and to fight on their behalf. And man, in today's society, this call for justice is one that I can resonate with.
I'm so glad I asked you to read that scripture, not me. So appreciate your reading of the word. Powerful, powerful. Thank you so much. Dr. Brown, anything you'd like to add to that?
Just to resonate with what Pastor Johnston has said, that this admonishes us that while God is the ultimate judge, and many people say, well, isn't God going to judge? Yes, God is the ultimate judge, but the people of God, the text says, should not be silent, neither should the people of God be inactive in the face of injustice.
Amen. Well, just a reminder that we are the hands and feet of Jesus in all areas of life. And thank you for those reminders today. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
What else do we have coming up here, Ruben?
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but before we dive into that break, I want to remind our viewers that they can go to hopebiblestudy.org. Again, that's hopebiblestudy.org, and sign up for some Bible studies that we can send out to you so you can dive into God's Word a little bit more. Or if you're in North America, go ahead and call and leave us your address, and we'll be happy to mail those out to you. Again, we'll be right back after this break.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
I'm Kenya Reyes from the Bible Help Desk Show. Weekly, we get to dive into the Word of God and see how He transformed so many lives in the past. But we know that He continues transforming lives today. If your life has been impacted by the power of God, we would love to hear your story. Give us a call at 833-BIBLE-HD, or you can email us at BibleHelpDesk@HopeTV.org.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. You know we are fueled by your questions, so please continue to send us your questions via text, or you can call us and leave a voicemail. Of course, you can also reach us on social media, Facebook and Instagram, or you can go to our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. So many ways to get in touch with us. Today, our panelists are answering your questions. We have with us Dr. Jeffrey Brown and Pastor Lola Johnston. Ruben, let's continue. We've been having a good time so far. I know there are a few more questions we need to get to.
Yes, indeed. We've been diving into some great questions, and I have another one here that came in via text. And it says, please explain 1 Corinthians 14:30 through 38. In verse 34 in particular, is it true the law does not permit women to speak but to remain silent in the church? Now, Dr. Brown, I want to pass this over to you, but before I do, I'm going to read that particular text in verse 34. And it says, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak but must be in submission as the law says. Dr. Brown, this seems a little harsh, or what is the Bible trying to say here?
Sure. And again, one of the principles that we have of Bible interpretation, we cannot pick and choose which Bible texts passages that we like. This is in the scriptures, and we have to acknowledge it, and we have to simply understand, well, what was Paul saying? Because even Peter said, Paul said some things that were difficult to understand. But three things we should keep in mind when we are interpreting scripture is the context, the surrounding context, the construct that can mean what exactly does the particular word mean. And then when we look at this, we also want to look at it in the situation of the culture. Now, this particular passage is very, very interesting, because when you look in your Bible, it may have a subheading like this: order in church meetings. And so the context that it's speaking about is order, or church order. And it speaks about different elements that were disruptive throughout the church. And it ends up having some counsel to give to different groups, including it talks about men and how important it is that when they pray, they lift up holy hands, and they do not do so with wrath or anger or disputing. And then the Bible says, and likewise the women. In other words, there's counsel to the men and there's counsel to the women. Now, just before I give this counsel to the women, I want to say that sometimes we are so concerned about another group. But the Bible says that you should take you don't try to take the speck out of somebody else's eye, sort of speck, when there's a big old log of wood in your own eye. Worry about your own stuff. So men have got stuff that they need to get together without worrying so much about what the Bible says to the women. Anyhow, that's a parenthesis. So coming to what it should say to the woman, the Bible says quietly, quietly. When it talks about in silence, the Bible says that we should live peacefully and quietly with all persons. We should pray for kings and presidents, that we should live peacefully and quietly. So the Bible is not saying that the women should say nothing, because Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. So Paul is there saying, be careful when you are preaching or when you are praying to make sure your head is covered. He is not prohibiting preaching, prophesying, praying by women, but he's saying that there should, all things should be done decently and in order. I just want to say one last thing, that in that culture, many of those who came into the church came from pagan worship, worshiping of the goddess Diana. And there, in order to call out the spirit, the women would cry out with a lot of questions. And they brought this practice into the church. Paul said, no, that's not appropriate for here. So when we read that scripture, you see that there's counsel for women, and the parallel scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is counsel for the men. Just as the Bible has counsel when it says, husbands, love your wives, wives, respect your husbands, I want you to know that the counsel given to one group often applies to the other. Women shouldn't pray with wrath, and men should also be submissive. There's counsel to one group, but oftentimes in the Bible, the counsel applies to both.
Wow, that's such a great and extensive way of explaining how it goes. Counsel goes to both. That's so, so important. And thank you for pointing out the context of that question, as we can take that out of its context. Now, Pastor Johnston, Dr. Brown did an eloquent way of explaining the context and how it can apply to both. But what else can we add here to this question?
I honestly decided not to add anything. I thought it would be best to hear a male voice explain for us who are women who work in the church. And I just want to thank scholars like Dr. Brown, who have been faithful with God's word to allow all of God's creation to participate in worship together.
Amen. All of God's creation worshiping together. Thank you so, so much for that. Andre, what else do we have?
Yes, Ruben, we did receive a question via email, and it reads, what biblical advice do you have for someone who is battling with an addiction? Pastor Johnston, a deep question that deserves a deep response from the Word of God, and I know you're very capable and such. What words can we share as hope for the Word of God here today?
Well, I also want to give my words of concern and of sympathy to this reader, this listener who has submitted this question. Addiction is a tough matter to deal with, whatever form. And we want to first say that we are praying for you, that you would be free. I love the fact that this person says they are battling with addiction, because not everybody is battling it. Some people are just lying down and letting an addiction reign, but this person seems to actually be wrestling with it and wanting to be free. And so I just pray, even through this broadcast, God's freedom, his power, be given to you to be free and rid at last of this addiction. We are clear that it is not God's desire for us to be addicted to anything or slave to anything. 1 Peter 5:8 lets us know that we should be alert and of a sober mind, because our enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And on several occasions in scripture, we learn of the damaging effects of alcohol. But what we do not have in scripture is someone becoming sober from a substance. What I did find, though, was a prayer of asking God to do something new for them. And I looked at a Psalm 51 verse 10, which says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I want to affirm you and tell you to start with prayer, to begin asking God for freedom. But I also want to affirm you and let you know you don't have to do this by yourself. There are several Christian-based programs that exist to help people just like you. And so I want to share with you just two of them, that Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous is one program that has a Christian base, a Christian foundation that you can use to get free. And also Celebrate Recovery is also a Christian-founded entity that can help you to overcome addiction. Do not do this by yourself. Find a Christian entity somewhere to help you through this. And I believe that with prayer and with proper help, you can be free.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. Prayer and partnership in the midst can make a big difference. Dr. Brown, what else can we learn from the Word of God here to provide hope for this person who's asking this question here today?
Certainly. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and starting with verse 7. You know, before I read, we understand that throughout this program today, we've talked about people who are in abusive situations or people who are in situations of injustice or women who've been put down. And now we're speaking about addictions. And here in this passage of scripture, the Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me to buffet me, lest I be exalted," the Bible says, "above measure concerning the thing. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes God does not actually take away all of the pain of the abuse, of the addiction, of the injustice, of the being put down. But one thing God does promise is that his grace is sufficient for us, and a better day is on its way.
Amen. Thank you so much for those responses. Appreciate it.
Well, Andre, I want to thank our guests here today, Pastor Johnston and Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for your insight and for answering the questions that we had here today. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Amen.
And as always,
thank you so much.
As always, the joy does not have to end here. You're welcome to go to hopebiblestudy.org to sign up for our Bible studies, as well as send us your questions via text, voicemail, calling in, as well as social media. And we thank you for joining us yet again here for a special program. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care. God bless.
God bless.